Hey guys, welcome back to Privy Lions Podcast. This is Sarah
Whitney.
and Whitney. You did so awesome on our most asked questions about postpartum depression and got really good feedback. So now you're ready for
Yay.
postpartum anxiety.
Oh, yes.
Let's get a little personal as we both experienced this.
Right.
Let's dive in. Okay. So for our listeners who are catching up with us, we did, on preference this, we did a whole series last May, so May 2023, of what is postpartum depression, anxiety during pregnancy, you name it. If it's under the perinatal mood anxiety disorder umbrella, we talked about it. So if we're new to you, you're new to us, please go back to that and listen to those. There'll be some good baseline information that kind of goes further. But today's is going to be based on questions asked by our Privy Lions moms and
Right.
the most Googled questions about postpartum anxiety. These are what people want to know, Whitney.
This will
So
do
let's
it.
go. What causes postpartum anxiety?
Okay, so very similar to postpartum depression. If you already have a pre-existing history of depression, anxiety, OCD, ADHD, PTSD, OCD, bipolar disorder, anything like that, you are higher risk. Now, let's just say you've never been diagnosed with anything, but your parents have, grandparents have, you've got a sibling, things like that, then you have the DNA or the genetics that make you higher risk for it. So just keep in mind, like you could have sailed through life and, you managed your situational anxieties like a test or applying to college or, different things like that, or a big meeting you had at work and you're like, ooh, I feel a little nervous about this. You moved through those situational anxieties, but it's nothing that was consistent. You know, if we know, oh, sitting down to take my ACT, my heart was racing, but we know why. So I'm talking about like a consistent non-situational thing where we know, okay, the ACT made me anxious.
Got
So
it.
DNA and genetics, that plays a huge role in just the likelihood or the susceptibility for experiencing postpartum anxiety.
Mine, I think my high-risk pregnancy, I was so anxious during pregnancy.
Oh, same.
It just carried. And I think medical professionals, you can even say teachers in the sense of like, I think if you've seen a lot of bad outcomes, even personally, if you've known some really hard stories from friends and family, you now, I always say the bliss bubble is popped. And I think that is really hard to kind of not see what's maybe happened to them happening to you and your baby.
Oh, yep. I absolutely, that resonates with me because when I was pregnant with my second one, that was when COVID hit all the things. It was the week of my anatomy scan. So I was 19 weeks. I kid you not, we had four IUFDs. And for those that don't know what that means, that's an intrauterine fetal demise or death of the baby. We had four of them, all of them. I kid you not, we were all between 18 to 20 weeks. They were pregnant with girls. They had no risk factor histories. So during my pregnancy, I was like, I'm sorry, what now? You're telling me, like, super anxious, super anxious during that time.
Miscarriage. I have a history of miscarriage and pregnancy after miscarriage. We've talked about, we have an episode on that, but it is very anxiety inducing. I mean, to the point for me, it was going to the restroom every time and fearing
Blood.
blood. It was very anxiety inducing. So if any of those kind of things resonate with you, just be aware that is something that I would start talking to your OB provider about. Therapy, highly, highly recommend getting into a great therapist to kind of just be aware, educate yourself, take those steps. Okay, this is a good one to bridge in now. Can you have anxiety during pregnancy? Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Non-negotiable, like absolutely you can. You absolutely
And
can.
where's that line, right? Because I think everybody's like, well, of course, it's hard, right? You get brushed off. Well, yeah, you're worried about being a new mom. It's a life change. Where is that tipping point where you're like, it's consuming her? What do you see where you're like, ooh, okay.
It's when, and it would almost look like adult onset ADHD.
Okay.
So you're so anxious about something happening that you don't feel like you can focus. And it's a new thing. So if you already have ADHD and you feel like that's been a struggle before, anxiety plays a role in ADHD. But let's just say you've never had a diagnosis of ADHD. You're not really easily distracted, things like that. But all of a sudden you find yourself, oh my gosh, what if I get that call today? What if this happens? What if that happens? And you're sitting in front of your work computer and you've read one email and you've got 50 to go kind of thing. When that anxiety pulls you away from being able to function and complete daily tasks, that would definitely be something to look out for. When you're consistently having heart palpitations, shortness of breath, lightheadedness can be another symptom of that. You feel shaky. And honestly, here's a huge thing. This is where mind and body are so connected. You have stomach problems. You feel like you have this pit in your stomach all the time. You have an upset stomach all the time. And yes, in pregnancy, heartburn absolutely occurs. So, you know, let's just say you're not third trimester when the heartburn really kicks in. Let's just say you're 15 weeks. So baby's not going to be super, super huge and pushing on your stomach just yet. But I mean, you can't get rid of that burning feeling in your stomach. That would be anxiety. You know, if you have this overthinking, you're overthinking a scenario in your head to try and get a resolution to it.
I've heard, you know, the anxiety of I'm going to get in a car crash, so then you don't leave, or like you say, I got to work from home now versus going into the office because of, again, that driving, or you stop eating certain things because you're so convinced that something's going to happen. So again, it's that what Whitney is pointing out, it's when it's impactful of your life and probably when other people are starting to notice it as well. You can hide it very well, but you may hear some people saying, okay, this is a little different from you. I know for me, I needed frequent reassurance of a heartbeat. So it goes back to a previous loss or convinced something's always wrong.
Right.
That was kind of some signs, but absolutely.
That's inevitable. That inevitably something bad occurs.
And you can't shake it. You can't logically get yourself to think out of that. Now, that goes to, is it real? Postpartum anxiety real? 100% it's real. And I, again, like we said in our previous episode, the fact that people are Googling this is they're looking for validation because probably they're not getting it other places, right? Or they're being
Dismissed in other areas. Dismissed. Whether it be family, significant other, doctors, friends, the dismissiveness is there.
100%, which is sad, but this is why, again, our platform is here to provide education. It's very common. How common do you think anxiety is, Whitney?
Just as a whole or postpartum?
Let's talk about postpartum.
Okay. If I'm going to separate it out from postpartum depression, honestly, post-COVID, I think we've seen more of the anxieties and kind of OCD pop out from COVID. Honestly, I feel like it's 85 to 90% of moms experience postpartum anxiety in some capacity. It may not be something that lasts very long. It may not be something that they choose to treat with medication, but that doesn't mean it's not there.
Yeah. And it continues, right? Because this is another question. How long does it last? And, you know, I think mine carried on way longer than it ever should.
Right.
I mean,
that's a hard question because everybody is so different when it comes to that. So as far as how long it lasts, I would say that varies. Now, when we look at postpartum anxiety versus baby blues, now baby blues does kind of self-resolve within about 2 to 3 weeks.
Right.
But postpartum anxiety is not going to self-resolve.
No.
Now, that being said, you can choose medication to treat it. You can choose therapy to treat it. You can do CBT exercises to treat it. Things like that, but you do have to address anxiety for it to actually get better and for it to be manageable. So with that, I really don't want to give a definitive timeline of, okay, well, you're a year postpartum, poof, it's gone. It may not be. It may not be. At that point, I think medically, technically, it just goes more over to like generalized anxiety disorder as opposed to postpartum. Mm-hmm. So like if we're looking at like from a doctor's perspective or the DSM, technically the diagnosis would change from postpartum anxiety to a GAD or adjustment disorder with anxiety. But that doesn't mean it still didn't get rooted in postpartum.
And I know mine, and we've mentioned this before, and you, is ours anxiety was about sleep. That was huge for us, about if we couldn't sleep because we were convinced that our children would die in their sleep. SIDS was a huge anxiety point to us. You know, other parents may experience anxiety over the car, go back and driving in the car, or won't let anyone else watch their child. Choking, certain solids, stuff like that may start triggering anxiety. And again, it's like one of those things that if you have had an experience where your child was in NICU, like every time Will got sick in his first year in life, I had really bad anxiety flare-ups.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know? Because look at what you've survived.
Yeah.
You've survived a worst case scenario. So why wouldn't your brain use that trauma trigger to go back there?
Right. I feel like these questions, like they're wanting concrete answers. And when we're talking about our mental health and we're talking about postpartum, we're talking about all the factors that come in as our moms, because I mean, your kid could be older and get very sick, get hospitalized. And like that anxiety is a new anxiety that's coming into play. Right. But like it can carry on every time they get sick again. Or they could go through something. So I think being a mom and again, you know, keeping these little beings alive.
Right.
It's anxiety inducing, right? Like we don't need much help to really go there.
No, we don't. Mm-mm. We can do it on our own.
Uh-huh.
We absolutely can do it on our own.
Which again, big fan of therapy. The coping techniques that you can learn and how to recognize anxiety and do that can be taught to you through therapy. And get to the root of why you're feeling this way. So when another question is, how do you treat it? We've mentioned it, medication, but definitely like Whitney said, an awesome therapist like herself. Okay. If I've had it before, will I have it again?
It's not an absolute. And we mentioned this in the postpartum depression episode. Think about this. You go and you drive a car and you're in a car accident. The next day you get back in a car, you're not absolutely guaranteed to be in a car accident again. You have a 50-50 shot of that happening. Same thing with postpartum anxiety. Just because you experience it the first time, second time, third time, whatever, does not mean that you're going to experience it up to the 100th time.
Right.
So you are higher likelihood of it, but it's not an absolute. It's not a guarantee. As best you can, try to not get into that trap of thinking, oh my gosh, it happened before. It is going to happen again. That's going to create that anxiety on its own. Mm-hmm. That honestly feels like an intrusive thought where it's like, oh, I'm going to have postpartum anxiety again. How am I going to survive that?
And for our listeners who've never heard the term intrusive thought, what is an intrusive thought?
An intrusive thought is rooted in anxiety. And it does come from a place of protection where it's like, hey, warning, make sure you look out for this. But then your anxiety takes that thought of be aware and runs with it like a kid's imagination. So a great example of that, and we've used this in the podcast before, you know, let's just say you're walking down the stairs with your baby and all of a sudden you think, oh my God, what if I fall down the stairs with my baby? What if they end up in the ICU? What if I end up in the ICU? What if we both end up dying because we get traumatic brain injuries from this? And and all of a sudden you have snowballed. You've gone from point A to point Z very, very quickly. And it is worst case scenario thinking, next thing you know, you're rapid breathing, rapid heartbeat, sweating, just panicked about this scenario that hasn't happened. So that would be an intrusive thought.
And intrusive thoughts are very common. So, you know, and we have a whole episode called Good Moms Have Scary Thoughts. Right. And we delve into more about this. But intrusive thoughts can come to, like, again, like Whitney said, protection. Like you don't want X to happen to your baby. So sometimes that thought of X happening to your baby comes in your mind as like your way of being like, oh my gosh, I would never want that to happen.
Right.
And it does not mean that with intrusive thoughts, research has showed that if you have this thought, that you're going to act upon that thought. Yes. It's completely different than when we talk about psychoses, where you believe those thoughts and you think they're good thoughts. You know, these are not good thoughts.
Right. You're scared of the thoughts. You're scared of your own thoughts and your own thinking. Because like, who wants to fall down the stairs with their baby?
Right.
Probably nobody. Yeah. But then you're thinking, oh my gosh, what if I lose complete control, which having no control over a situation naturally, you know, makes anxiety go up. So it's one of those in those moments, okay, I'm really scared I'm going to fall down the stairs with my baby. Maybe I'm just going to sit down and scoot down the stairs. Maybe I'm going to make sure I'm holding my baby tighter and I hold the rail and I just take it slower. You know, taking back that control, saying I can control this aspect of it.
Yeah. And anxiety, I think, again, we've mentioned this before in previous episodes, but anxiety, again, is really tied to our desire, I believe, from birth, is to protect this child and to care for this child. And no one talks about it. I think people brush it off, but that's a lot to carry. That's a lot to assume. And especially in this day and age, it's a scary world. And we're mothering in a world where...
We have a very scary world to live in.
And so it's anxiety, I think, like you said, it's very high. We'll do something a little different to end this. What is some of your favorite anxiety toolbox tips here that you like to personally do or teach your clients?
I mentioned it just a second ago, but using the grounding thoughts, making myself take that deep breath, even if I don't think I can take a deep breath, I'm going to say, okay, just breathe in through your nose and breathe in through your mouth, because that physically forces you to take a deeper breath.
Yeah.
So we're working with how our body works. Okay, I'm really scared that I'm going to fall down the stairs with the baby. Maybe let me just step back for a minute, take my time, you know, sit down and scoot on my bottom. So using the grounding thought of, okay, that hasn't happened yet. This is within my control to take a little bit longer to get downstairs, to sit down and scoot downstairs or hold the rail. Another really good one is what we call tactile grounding. I use this a fair amount with clients and just on my own. So what tactile grounding is we're tapping into your senses. Really, I love doing like sense of smell, sense of taste, and your sense of touch. So with touch, I want you to get something cold or wet. It can be a paper towel, water bottle, Coke can, something out of the fridge or the freezer, or you're just going to the bathroom and getting water. Ideally, I would want you to put it on your pulse point that's on your neck. Let's just say you're at Target, though, or Publix, or wherever, and you're like, I don't want to call that kind of attention to myself. Put it on the back of your neck. Putting it on the back of your neck, it distracts your brain from those intrusive thoughts because your brain's thinking, oh, that's cold, or oh, that's wet. So we're tapping into a sense. We're breaking that thought pattern. And while you're doing that, just take some deep breaths. Yeah. Look around at your surroundings. Are you physically safe? Are you physically safe? Is there an imminent threat for your physical safety, for your baby's physical safety? If the answer is no, you can say, okay, this is anxiety. It doesn't feel good. It feels scary, but it's not going to hurt me.
Yeah.
Same thing when we talk about the sense of smell. Get hand sanitizer, which also, by the way, can help if you feel nauseated from your anxiety, just because rubbing alcohol does that. So I'm a big fan of using sanitizer, but lotion is another good one. A candle, anything that's scented, taking in some deep breaths and saying, okay, what does this smell like to me? Is it a sweet smell? Is it a clean smell? Is it a coffee scented candle? Like, is it a fruity lotion? What all do we have going on here? And you are asking yourself surface level questions, but that's okay. We're just trying to break the thought pattern of intrusive thoughts. Now, when it comes to your sense of taste, gum, mint, sour candy is really my favorite one to encourage people to do, but sometimes we just use what we have and you're sucking on that. Think about our babies. They suck on their thumb. They suck on their passies. That is a human's natural way of self-soothing. So we're utilizing, again, we're working with our body, kind of what our DNA tells us to do to soothe ourselves anyway. But especially if you're using sour, it's going to be a little bit of a shock to your central nervous system.
I carry those sour candies. Ever since you taught me that, it's like a little pack of
warheads.
Yeah, and I just pop them and it works. I mean, people think you might be hearing, they're going, really? No, try it.
For real.
Give us feedback. Let us know. But it works.
Warheads, lemon heads, Jolly Ranchers are great. Ring pops. Get your kids in on it because they're not going to turn down a ring pop.
No one turns out a ring pop.
Flavors, mints, Tic Tacs, any of that stuff is good.
I love that. And those are some really great techniques that if you're pregnant, you're postpartum, if you're wanting to be a mom, just listening to us, go ahead and getting yourself these tools. It's only going to help you in life. And again, if this resonates to anybody, we just want you to start having conversations with your doctor, with your friends, your family, and take a step forward. You don't have to live in, you know, constant stage of anxiety or feel hopeless, or it's a you thing. It's very common. And again, we say it all the time, the most common complication of childbirth and pregnancy is these perinatal mood anxiety disorders. So Absolutely. You are not alone in this. But as always, guys, we appreciate you spending time with us. Yes. We'll be back next week. And till next time.
All right. See you guys.
Maternal mental health is as important as physical health. The Preview Alliance podcast was created for and by moms dealing with postpartum depression in all its variables, like anxiety, anger, and even apathy. Hosted by CEO, founder Sarah Parkhurst, and licensed clinical social worker Whitney Gay, each episode focuses on specific issues relevant to pregnancy and postpartum. Join us and hear how other moms have overcome mental health challenges, as well as access tips and suggestions on dealing with your own challenges as moms. You can also browse our podcast library and listen to previous episodes at any time. Please know you're not alone on this journey. We're here to help.